Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final Wednesday in August. Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. And Sean Carey here. And soon we will hear from Steve in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Sewell's Grove. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com, stevejones@wkok.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle at SteveJonesPSU, and our website is SteveJonesShow.com. 3 months of shows are archived there. Also, you can subscribe to the Steve Jones Show podcast. We suggest Penn State football fans do that. You get access and great coverage whenever you want it on demand. Right after our shows air live on WKOK, we drop them to your smartphone and tablet when you subscribe on iTunes, Apple Podcast app, Google Play, and your podcast platform. Just search Steve Jones Show, subscribe, and you are good to go. You can listen to us anytime, anywhere. Yeah, how about the Phillies? They are in free fall. They've lost, 14 of their last 21. 6-13. Actually, 6-13 in their last 19. Including this current series against Washington, they haven't won any of their last 7 series. So it's a tough pill to swallow, that loss last night. Pretty much flushed Aaron Nola's performance down the drain. As Washington beat Philly last night 5-4, so Philly has now fallen 4.5 games behind the Braves in the National League East, but it feels bigger than that. That ties their largest deficit in the division this season, So they got to fight off this fade, try to avoid a sweep against the Nats tonight. Jake Arrieta versus Gio Gonzalez. Jake's 9-9. Gio is 7-11. And we'll have on deck beginning at 6:30 here on 1070 AM and first pitch at 7:05. Arrieta, one of the most seasoned Phillies players on a 2016 World Championship team, of course, with Chicago. And he is trying to stop a personal losing streak. Philadelphia has lost all 4 of Arrieta's starts this month, even though the veteran right-hander has a 3.6 ERA this month. Opponents are hitting just .226 against him this month. But against the Toronto Blue Jays in his last start, Arrieta gave up 4 runs, 6 hits, including 2 home runs and 3 walks across 6 innings. It was Arrieta's 3rd straight outing where he took a loss. Gonzalez, 32 years old, has also picked up 3 losses in his last 3 starts. He has struggled this month with a 6.84 ERA in 5 starts, but much more sharper in his last outing, last Friday night against the Mets. He only allowed 1 run on 7 hits in 7 innings, but the Mets shut out Washington 3-0. Gonzalez will make his 26th start against the Phillies tonight. He is 11-7 on his career against Philly with a 2.69 ERA. The Nats are currently 8 games behind the Braves with a record of 67-66. So we'll have it for you tonight, 6:30 on deck, 7:05 first pitch here on WKOK on 1070 AM. We do have a couple of NFL notes this afternoon. Jets are going to be sending quarterback Teddy Bridgewater to the New Orleans Saints with the expectation Sam Darnold will be the starter. Jets had a glut of quarterbacks with veteran Josh McCown, Bridgewater, and rookie John Wolford. Playing mostly with the backups, Bridgewater has completed 74% of his passes in the preseason. He played 29 games for the Vikings in 2014 and 15, but missed all of the 2016 season after suffering a catastrophic knee injury in preseason. played in one game last season, and signed with the Jets in March. And Aaron Rodgers got richer today. Record-breaking four-year, $134 million extension. Could be worth up to $180 million in total money. The deal would run through the 2023 season when Rodgers turns 40. The extension includes nearly $103 million total in guarantees, another record amount, and has an average value of $33.5 million per year. Important feature of this deal for Aaron Rodgers was the cash flow in the first year. He will receive $67 million by the end of this year and an additional $13 million before St. Patrick's Day 2019. Packers and Aaron Rodgers' representative, they have been working on this since the combine in early March when the Packers' new GM said the deal was expected to get done this offseason, and it did with about a week or so to spare. Bucknell's got their first game of the season this Saturday night. You can catch it live on Eagle 107, eagle107.com, as the Bison entertain William and Mary, 5:30 airtime and kickoff at 6 with Doug Birdsong and Kevin Herr. And we will replay for you yesterday's chat with Steve and the head coach of the Bucknell Bison, Joe Susan.
It's good to be back with you and Sean, and good to be back in game week.
What kind of preseason did you have?
It was interesting. We came out of the spring with a pretty good feel for who was going to be our quarterback, and John Schlanzio came back and won the job. And that was a good thing. He took over. Any slight against Logan Bitterkofer, but I'll call him Chi, really showed that he improved some of his fundamental things. And just going through, we evaluate everything. We keep records, especially with that position. And just at the end of last week, we made a decision that in our best interest, he's the guy. We suffered two unique injuries that have impacted our team. Chad Freshnock had an upper body injury that he'll miss the year. And then Marcus Adamiola had a leg injury that he'll miss the year. They'll both have the opportunity to get the year back. But what's unique about that is that the running back group has really done a very good job in preseason. Marquise Carter will be our starter, but we'll play Stephon Moore Green and very talented first-year guy, Jared Cooper. And then the tight end position is going to be by committee, but Alex Twyford, Andrew Hours, John Reedy, and then a talented Dylan DeMarco as a first-year. What is unique about that is that oftentimes when you lose two starters right off the bat, you woe is me, but the young men in our program and on our team, just next guy up, which is good. And I credit the way our coaches have approached this, and more so the way our players have approached it. It's a reflection of the leadership in this group. This is a unique group. We over the past couple years, we've had a highlight guy, Julian Davenport, who's actually starting at left tackle for the Houston Texans, and Abdul Anderson last year, who's with the Chicago Bears. That guy might be here, but he hasn't shown up yet. But everybody else has really played their part very well, and the leadership, the togetherness of this team is something that's very special, and makes practice, going to practice, you know, some people call it work, it makes practice the best time of our days.
Well, no, the leadership part makes a big difference. I remember listening to Mike Krzyzewski talk about the topic of leadership came up, and he really, it didn't take long for him to jump to Shane Battier. And he said, when Shane Battier played for me, he said, it allowed me to do more coaching because I knew there were other areas that he would take care of that I didn't have to worry about. Is that where you are with your leadership right now?
It is, and I think Coach K said it well. What we do best is when we're coaching, and when they take care of the little things, when they take care of the discipline things, the move from point A to point B as fast as you can. This is the way we do it here. Those are the things that give us a chance as coaches to really maximize our efficiency as teachers. And obviously, we still continue to be motivators, but it's much easier to motivate a group that is self-motivated and leadership-motivated. And I credit our upperclassmen, but it goes through the ranks. We're fortunate to be blessed with a uniquely talented freshman first-year class. I spoke of Jared Cooper. We're going to get a lot of play out of a young man, Brandon Sanders. He's from St. Joe's Prep in Philly. And then we have a young man named Grayson Cherubino who will turn 18 on September 30th. So he's going to play his first four college football games as a 17-year-old. Grayson is a 6'4", 250-pound defensive end that it's amazing. I knew he was a good athlete, but to watch him work and watch him run, and he's going to be a headache for offensive linemen for a long time to come. And you add to that Simeon Page, and right. we have a couple headaches.
Have you reached a point in recruiting and then in roster development where you feel like, for the most part, you're replacing an athlete with another athlete instead of replacing an athlete with, I hope they develop?
There are certain, in some positions, Steve, yes. There are certain positions where when you get a big, long guy on the offensive line, you have to look to his development. But from a skill standpoint, I can say yes, we have. From the defensive line standpoint, which they're the hardest guys to recruit, and bringing in a guy like Grayson Cherubino, who we knew coming out of high school, he's from St. Anthony's on Long Island, highly recommended, highly recruited. He came here for the right reasons, and those are the things that he is the guy we thought he would be. And Brandon Sanders is the guy we thought he would be. Jared Cooper is better than the guy we thought he would be, and that's a unique thing. Dylan DeMarco, the tight end, is better than we thought he would be. And those are the changes young men make between 17 and 18 or 16 and 17 in Grayson's. And it's tribute to them, tribute to their high school programs. They come from good programs, tribute to their parents. But more, it's them making the change between who they are in high school to who they have to be in college. And then the big language difference between what they thought a play was called in high school and what it's called in college.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. Joe, how difficult is it at the FCS level where you're not redshirting and suddenly that offensive lineman can play his fourth and fifth year because you've had time to develop them? How difficult is that because the clock is so different?
That's the most difficult position because that's the biggest challenge in terms of who they went up against in high school compared to who they're going up against. You know, you put a freshman out there and he's going up against a senior defensive end, or in some of the schools we play against, a redshirt senior defensive end. That's the biggest difference, and that's the biggest learning curve that has to take place. You know, you recruit guys that you want that are athletic. You recruit guys that are tough. They might not be 300 pounds right now. They might be 260, 270. And as they grow, but some of them have to be in the fire right away. And our offensive line, the pleasant surprise is a young man named Justice Peppers, who will be our left tackle. He, the change he made from who he was this past spring to who he is now, and he has great feet for a big person. He's just under 6'5". He's 315 pounds. But we were really concerned coming out of the spring because he had kind of plateaued, and you know that is obviously a very important position. But the work he put in over the summer, what he did in terms of changing his body, and that's the change in an offensive lineman. You know, their maturation, and this is consistent across FCS football, their maturation is critical. And the other thing about football at our level in the Patriot League, we're dealing with roster sizes in the mid-80s to low-80s. And
right.
the teams we're dealing against, the Ivies bring in 115 players. The CAA bring in 105. So we have to be strategic about how we practice. And we have to pray to the football gods and the other god that we stay healthy.
And I've always had a general theory that, for the most part, your opportunity to play earlier is usually the further away you are from the ball, the better your chances of getting
exactly.
it earlier.
Yeah. Exactly.
In the end, what made the difference at quarterback for you?
It's just his composure, and we're doing some new things offensively that have a little bit more in the way of run-pass option concepts, and making the right decision in those things. And sometimes that's hard for a younger quarterback, where at times they get tunnel visioned and they think they see something when it could be a mirage. And then coverages change between pre-snap and post-snap, and you've got to be able to react to it. And that's really the reason why. And I think a lot of it's related to John's experience in games last year and the year before. And I think Logan will wind up being a very good quarterback here. And he's getting pressure from a freshman, though, a first-year guy named Taron Earl out of Montclair, New Jersey, who he has a way of trying to fit passes in small windows, and as long as they go to the guy with the right colored shirt on, I feel good about it. But he's really come along as a first-year guy. So we're excited about that position. It has the most experience, and there's really not a senior in that group.
This is a very tough schedule and a very tough non-conference schedule, which means the opener, of course, with William and Mary to start things out. I know you want to test your team against the best they can be tested against. What kind of opening test do you anticipate Saturday evening?
Well, I know that Jimmy Laycock's going into his final year in coaching. I think he's been there over 37 years, which is a tribute to him and their program.
I worked a game in the 80s on the Penn State Sports Network as the third announcer when William & Mary came into Beaver Stadium with Jimmy Laycock.
He's done an outstanding job. Some of the guys that are playing for him we've recruited, and some of the guys that are playing for us he's recruited. I know that they will be a very physical team. Obviously, there are the first game concerns from both sides. And I think a big part of this will be the way you have to practice now, you limit the live work that you do. And our ability to tackle at full speed, their ability to do the same, and then who wins the turnover battle. And by turnover, I mean the obvious ones, the fumble, the interceptions. But, you know, we have an All-American at punter, and he can,
oh, yeah.
he can impact the field. And if we can keep the field on our side and convert field position opportunities, it really plays into the way we want to play the game. And he's been outstanding this preseason. He's gotten better at his craft. He is one humble guy, and it's amazing what he can do. And he's very hard on himself, but usually the best ones are Alex Peachin. And it's funny, he met a woman yesterday. We went to a Riverwoods, which is a retirement village in town, and he met a woman that he shares a birthday with. It's just, when he turns 21, she'll turn 100. And
wow.
I think he got her phone number. And pretty interesting experience for our guys. The women over there and the men really enjoyed our guys being over there, and I think it's an eye-opener for our guys. I try to tell them that you should spend some time speaking to somebody older than you every day. You might learn a lot more than you think. They came out of that impressed.
No question. And just one final note. When you talk about, I keep on my chart field position, average start, drive starts, and so forth. The reason I do that is I feel in some ways if it's done right, you talk about your punter, like sometimes like creating a team in jail is like a turnover as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When they're playing backed up, they're playing different. And Joe, he has mastered that end over end thing, the rugby punt.
Oh, yeah, nose down.
Yep.
Joe, it's 6 o'clock coming up on Saturday evening. There'll be a postgame fireworks show presented by Wise Market, Silvertip Incorporated, and, of course, Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation. Looking forward to it and looking forward to what I think could be a fun season for you and hearing from you all season long. Thanks so much for the time. Best of luck.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Sean. You guys have a great day.
You too, Coach.
Take care.
Yeah,
Coach. Bye.
Saturdays in the fall are made for college football, and the Bucknell Bison are ready to kick off the season on September 1st at 6 p.m. when they host William & Mary. Bucknell football is affordable family fun for all ages with free parking, bounce houses, face painting, and exciting football. Plus, all kids 12 and under get in free all season long. Postgame on September 1st will feature a fireworks spectacular courtesy of Wise Markets, Silvertip, and Sunbury Broadcasting. Tickets are available at bucknell.edu/boxoffice, by phone at 570-577-1000, or at the stadium on game day. Go Bison, Ray Bucknell.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Wednesday. Aaron Rodgers is very, very rich. Very rich. A four-year $134 million deal. Negotiating is all about leverage. And last year, Aaron Rodgers got hurt. And the Green Bay Packers got a glimpse of life without Aaron Rodgers, a.k.a. leverage. Lots and lots of leverage.
I looked at our play-by-play call of the day. I see you picked the Neil Walker walk-off.
Yes.
Was there a game you were trying to avoid?
For some reason, that one jumped off the page or off the screen.
Are you sure?
Well, I got 25 minutes to find a different one if you'd like. I got some time.
I think there's a game you're avoiding. It was a rough one for the Phils last night.
Ugh. Just those errors on the field. I mean, the bats aren't there to make up for those errors that just continue to keep accumulating. It just negated another great performance by Aaron Nola. And it just makes you wonder if they're going to be able to bounce back from this.
I don't know. They're not playing well.
Mm. And then having Vince Velasquez in there as a pinch runner, that was a real fluky way. That was a real fluky way that game ended.
Yeah, but that when you have okay, I'm going to guess the Phillies have no more than 12 position players, right? And if you have no more than 12 position players, you're going to use a pitcher as a pinch runner on a day they're not scheduled to pitch. It's kind of as simple as that. It depends on you know. So Gabe Kapler can be questioned about a lot of things. That's actually standard operating procedure. Now, as I pointed out many times, I don't pay my money to go to the ballpark to watch Vince Velasquez hit or run. I pay my money to watch him pitch. Yeah. But when you are down on, so many teams are taking more pitchers now, specializing, trying to get to the sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth innings. So they're keeping extra pitchers on the roster. Now, next week, Sean, that all changes. Starting on Saturday, you can have all the pinch runners you want because the roster goes to 40. Roster goes to 40 next week. All right, let me ask you a trivia question. College football.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll like this. Okay. Name the last time. Now I just need the year. When's the last year Michigan beat a ranked team on the road?
Wow. On the road. For some reason, I'll say it was before. I bet this hasn't happened since Jim Harbaugh took over as head coach. So I would probably say sometime during the... maybe during the Brady Hoke era. So I'll go... I'll say 2011.
You didn't go far enough back.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Now remember, they're opening at Notre Dame. Both teams are ranked. Michigan has not won a road game against a ranked team since 2006. Mm. How about that? 2006 is the last time they won a game against a ranked team on the road.
Oh, so Lloyd Carr was there at the time.
Yes, that's the last time they've done it. It's amazing. When you sit there and you think about it, it is amazing. Certain programs get more credit than they're due. That's one of them in a lot of ways. And I think it's amazing that they get the credit they do get. Amazing. And when you look at, you know, and I've talked about the Alabama thing. I mean, Alabama hasn't played a true road game since playing at Penn State in 2011. They have not played a true road game since. That's amazing, isn't it? That they have not. You've got, obviously, so many people that have a perception of programs, which is one of them. No doubt, that's one of them. And then you look at it and say, well, wait a minute, hold on a second here. Really? You know, when you really start looking into it, now, you'll hear the defense of, well, you know, I talked about the Alabama thing last year. The Alabama thing last year, again, 9 Power 5 teams on the schedule. You know, I mean, you can go on and on. It's a long list here. No division championship, no kind of, and yet they get the benefit of the doubt. That's the problem. They get the benefit of the doubt. And other people don't. And that's what I find wrong about this, about the system, is the benefit of the doubt that some people get. And they're one of them. They get the benefit of the doubt. Michigan always gets the benefit of the doubt when it comes to teams. Perception. Then you start looking into it and saying, you know, they have done a lot of nothing over the years. I mean, that's 12 years. So that means they've come to Penn State. They came here in 2008, got beat. Okay, Penn State was ranked. Penn State was ranked last year. Penn State beat them. That's two of them. They're 0 for 15. Now, there are some at Michigan State, some at Ohio State, obviously. And I've talked about that before, too. When does a rivalry stop being a rivalry? When a rivalry to me stops being a rivalry when one team can't beat the other anymore. And I think that's big. I think that's big. And they have them, they've got Notre Dame this week. Now, they may break it. They may get back on track. But you're talking about 2006, the last time they won a game against a ranked team on the road.
And they've got the Michigan game coming up, and everything kicks into high gear tomorrow. Northwestern's playing Purdue tomorrow. That's an intriguing game. I think Texas A&M has their first game under Jimbo Fisher. They've got Northwestern State. And then there are games Friday, Saturday, including Penn State, Appalachian State. Bucknell opens Saturday with William and Mary at Christie, which is after the Penn State game. And there are games Sunday, and there's a game Monday night between Florida State and Virginia Tech. The West Virginia plays Tennessee. Okay, it's interesting to a point. Auburn plays Washington in Atlanta in one of the neutral site games. Oh, and Alabama opens up with Louisville. Oh, hold on a second. That's right. Lamar Jackson's with the Baltimore Ravens. So there's no intrigue there. Zero. There is a lot of intrigue between Washington and Auburn. I think they're two good teams. Neither one's a great team, but two good teams where the winner, again, I always look at all these games that are matched up like this, that they're like playoff games. And yeah, it's right out of the gate, but still, you know, to me, it's a playoff game. And that's the part that intrigues me about what they're doing. That part's intriguing. I just don't like the fact that, as usual, a Southeastern Conference team is playing and they don't go anywhere.
Yeah. The one game that surprises me, it's a divisional matchup. You've got Northwestern and Purdue, and they play tomorrow night. That's very surprising. You got two teams in the same division, in the same conference, going right out of the gate week one, but, you know, and it's not even a Saturday.
But that's the you know what? That's a good thing. Started. Indiana played Ohio State last year in that game. That's a divisional game.
That's right.
Same game a year ago. It's the SEC model, which I think is brilliant. It is brilliant. As much as I enjoy everybody playing on the same day, all right, this is intriguing, this will be interesting. The SEC, in order to create interest every week, makes sure that they schedule what they perceive to be big games every week, so it makes you think the SEC is having a big game every week when they really aren't. There may be two conference games total next weekend, but one of them will be important and be on CBS. They're brilliant with the way they do that. Brilliant. I give them a lot of credit. Smart. It's ahead of the curve. Big Ten's doing more of that. Penn State, in fact, I can't remember which year. I want to say it's 2021, is opening the season with Wisconsin on Labor Day weekend. So they're trying to incorporate more of that into the Big Ten. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
If you want to have a fun day and have less than perfect credit, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 17 2018 Hyundai Elantras picked out for anyone who has less than perfect credit. Every new Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty and Hyundai Assurance. Sunbury Motors Hyundai will work hard to get you approved on a brand-new Hyundai Elantra. Bankrupt, divorced, slow pay should not be an issue at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Why settle for a used vehicle when you can bring your blues credit to Sunbury Motors Hyundai. 17 2018 Hyundai Elantras picked out for anyone who has less than perfect credit. If you want to have a fun day and have less than perfect credit, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the black building on North 4th Street in Sunbury. 17 2018 Hyundai Elantras picked out for anyone who has less than perfect credit. If you want to have a fun day and have less than perfect credit, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
All right, great to have you with us. There was a rule change that came out. In the last 24 hours. You are now allowed, now it doesn't affect Penn State this week at all because Penn State's at home. You're allowed now to travel 74 guys in a row. It says 70. James Franklin brought this up at Big Ten Media Day. He said, if you're going to have the liberalized redshirt rule, shouldn't you have then more opportunity to travel people? He proposed 75. Well, when you go on the road, and you got, you know, obviously this will make sense as soon as I say it. There are logistics on the road where, no, because you have roommates. So it has to be an even number. Of course, he wanted 76 then. But they decided to go with 74. That way, when you go on the road, you need 37 rooms. If there's 75, you need a 38th room with one guy in it. Okay. So they're going to go with 74. I told you the Gatorade Powerade story, right? I know I have.
It's been a while, though.
It was years ago. You were allowed to have 66 guys. So it was at a time where there was Gatorade, Powerade, and the Big Ten, of course, you know, when it came to advertising, had to come up with something here. So if you're a Powerade school going on the road to a Gatorade school, you had to cover up your tank with a Big Ten logo jacket to respect the Gatorade school. So they put out this big, long memo about it. And at the bottom, it says, oh, by the way, you can now start taking 70 players on the road. Because Tom Venerino showed me the memo. It's like, he says, look at this. It was on the bottom in, like, small print. Michigan played the next week with 66 guys on the road because they didn't read the entire memo.
Yeah, slapping the logo on the drink logo, it's a lot better than duct tape.
I mean, again, what was the prevailing part? Yeah, the prevailing part was the money part. Oh, by the way, the competitive part, which, by the way, drives the money. You can take 70 guys. It'll be 74 from now on. And by the way, that redshirt rules for any class.